Well, greetings, everybody. You want to know what is the most common misconception? You could almost say a sin, but I'll say error of belief. Believed by every church that I know of that is a Christian church except this one. That is that everybody is lost unless they get saved. That is that there's a great controversy going on between Christ and Satan. Christ is trying desperately to get everybody saved today. That is not true. He isn't trying to get anybody saved except those God calls. Did you know that? Oh, how little understanding there is in this world. Your Bible says that all nations are deceived. All humanity has been deceived. And the millions are wrong on this earth. And people say, well, surely all of these men can't be deceived. All of our great scholars, all of our great intellects, our great scientists, how can they be deceived? Well, their minds are only half there. Without the Spirit of God, they're limited to physical and to material knowledge. I know before I started Ambassador College back in 1947, I had a talk with the Chancellor of Higher Education in the state of Oregon. I told him I was starting a college, and when he heard about the circumstances, he said, Mr. Armstrong, I can't tell you how much I envy you. He said, education is all wrong today, and I know it. Now he says, here I am in authority over the president of the University of Oregon. I am over the president of Oregon State University. I am over the state school for teachers down at Monmouth. But he says, I'm helpless. I couldn't change anything if I wanted to. The system is that faculty have a vote, they have tenure, they have a lot of things that we're not going to allow in Ambassador College. Well, God said, you are going to be cut off from me. And all humanity, except those God has called, has been cut off. Now then, God had shut humanity off. And remember, he not only kept humans out from the tree of life or the Holy Spirit, but it's Jesus said in the New Testament, no man can come to me unless God the Father draws him. Now, God calls some for a performance, for a duty. Always it had to do with preparing for the kingdom of God. Everything God has done was looking forward to restoring the kingdom of God. Now, Adam failed to qualify, but the second Adam, Jesus Christ, did qualify. The second Adam, Christ, when he came 4,000 years later, Satan gave him temptations that went right to hunger and to vanity, the hardest temptation for any man to resist. But Jesus Christ quoted scripture and obeyed God and rejected Satan, and he qualified to replace Satan as the ruler on the throne of this earth. However, he has gone to heaven to be coronated up there, and when he comes, he'll come with many crowns already coronated. But here's the thing, Jesus Christ had to do what Adam had to do, but Adam failed to do. That is to reject Satan's way, to resist Satan, to accept God's way of give, of love, of outgoing love and concern, the law of God, which is summed up in the Ten Commandments, the law of love, love to God, love to neighbor. And Jesus Christ did that, and Jesus Christ qualified then to rule on the throne of the earth over all nations. However, God had sentenced the world to 6,000 years, and only 4,000 years had gone by. And so Christ has been in heaven as our high priest, ministering to those that have been called ever since. But we're almost to the end of that 6,000 years, and we're in the generation that is going to see the end of it. Then Christ is going to come again. And when he comes, he's called us to get back of his apostle in getting this message, the kingdom of God, out to the world as a witness, not to convert the world. Jesus Christ did not come on a soul-saving crusade. Now, the thing is, the people that God has not called are not being judged. The greatest error, as I say, is thinking that everybody is automatically lost if you don't get saved. The people God has not called are neither lost nor saved. They are just not yet judged. Now, in the church, I want to call your attention to something. It's back here in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter and the 17th verse. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Now, you take this thing of judgment, and in this world, your judgment is in a court of law, and a man is being judged for what he is accused of doing, and either he did it or he's innocent and he pleads not guilty, and he's being judged to see if he was innocent and is falsely accused. But he's always judged for something that happened in the past, not for what he's doing right now. Now, God is judging you for what you're doing right now. There are, in a sense, there are two phases of judgment in the Bible. We're not only being judged daily as we go along, but when Christ comes, he's going to call us to an account. As you read in the parable of the pounds and the parable of the talents, the 19th chapter of Luke and the 25th chapter of Matthew, he's going to call each to account as to what we have done. Now get this also. We are not saved by our works. We're saved by grace. But we're going to be rewarded, or not rewarded, one or the other, according to our works. So works count. Works don't earn your way into the kingdom of God. That's God's free gift to those that God has called. And if he has chosen you, he's chosen you to do something. And if you don't do it, you probably won't get in. Now you take one of the parables. Take the parable of the pounds and the parable of the talents, where God gave a pound to each one in the parable of the pounds. Now, one man took that, and that represented a certain degree of the Holy Spirit of God. And he intended us to increase. Only one person, Jesus Christ, has ever come with a full measure of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ didn't have the Holy Spirit by measure, that is, a portion. He had it all completely. But you and I started out with less. But we grow in grace and in knowledge according to the last verse in 2 Peter that he wrote. We must grow in the grace of Christ and in the knowledge of Christ. And you grow spiritually. And you grow in the amount of the Holy Spirit that you have. Now then, God cut off the world except those he called. Do you see what that means? That means that those that are not called have not had a chance. Therefore, the responsibility is not theirs. God isn't holding them accountable for the fact he didn't call them. God is the one who is responsible. Now, that doesn't mean God is guilty. It just means the responsibility is hidden. He's going to acquit himself of that responsibility. And that's what I'm here to talk to you about this afternoon. Now, once again, John 6:44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father draw him." You can't, any scripture that refutes that would mean a contradiction in the Bible. And it would mean a contradiction of when God put angels to guard anyone getting back into that tree of life. Because God just isn't calling everybody to salvation. And those he calls, it's not just for salvation. It is for a job that you're to do, and the church is to get the gospel to the world, but not every member of it. Now, the church is well organized, and you find that in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. You find it in the 4th chapter of Ephesians. And how God has set different offices in the church, and each one has a certain thing to do. But God hasn't made our way easy in this life, and sometimes we have to suffer to do what we have to do instead of what we would like to do. Now, no church or religious denomination has a knowledge of the master plan of God. God has revealed it to his church through these holy days, and no other church that I know of keeps them. God gave us these seven annual festivals and seven annual holy days. Now, they're not quite the same. The first festival is not a holy day. It's the Passover, and it's not a holy day, but it is a festival. Then comes the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, the Passover is the beginning of God's spiritual creation. It pictures to us the sacrifice of Christ. That's the beginning. The next thing is we have to come out of sin and put sin out of our lives, and the 7 days of unleavened bread picture that to us. That is the second festival of unleavened bread, with its two holy days on the first and the seventh. Now, the third festival is the Feast of First Fruits. We got to calling it in the New Testament Pentecost, which means count 50. It's count 50 days beginning on a Sunday. And it brings out the 50th day a Sunday. And that is to show that we are only the first harvest. Now, God did not call Israel. He called them to have his government and his laws. But God did not give them any chance of salvation. God did not give the Israelites the Holy Spirit, only the prophets. Almost nobody seems to understand why God had ancient Israel when he didn't give them any salvation. Moses had the Holy Spirit of God. So did Isaiah, so did Jeremiah, so did the prophets. Now, the fourth feast is the Feast of Trumpets, which pictures the second coming of Christ. And he's coming for his church. And he's the vine, and his church, we're the branches joined to that vine. Or we are the temple built up to a holy temple. He's not coming to a physical temple over in Jerusalem. Now, the fifth one then is the Day of Atonement. That has to do with putting Satan away. When Christ comes, he's qualified. He's going to take over that throne. And when he takes it over, Satan will be put out. And that's pictured in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. How the angel with the key to the bottomless pit comes down and lays hold on that old dragon, which is Satan, the serpent, which is Satan, the devil, and puts a seal on him. And seals him up for 1,000 years so he can't get at the church. Now, he's immortal. He'll still be alive. But he won't be around us during that millennium. It'll be a millennium. The world can't be at one with God when it's cut off from God and when it is being swayed entirely by Satan, who is the god of this world. The god that the world looks to as God is Satan. They don't know who the true God is. It's funny that the whole world could be deceived, but that has happened. Now, the sixth festival is the Feast of Tabernacles. That pictures the 1,000 years reign of the kingdom of God, which is the family of God made immortal, that will rule over all of the mortals. So in the millennium, you're going to have both mortals and immortals. And all of the mortals, the people that are still living, will then be called. Then God's going to call everybody. But there won't be any devil to overcome them. We have to overcome Satan the same as Christ did if we're going to sit with him on his throne ruling, you see? But they won't. There is a very great difference. Then finally comes today, this last great day of the feast. Now I want to show you about this. We've come to it. All that are still living on earth, because many people that are living now will die between now and the time Christ comes. And there are prophecies that show that a third of the people in our country are going to die with pestilence and disease coming from very great famine. Another third by an invasion, a military invasion, and probably by nuclear warfare, if not neutron warfare. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be terrible. God has promised that his church will be protected through that great tribulation. And you wonder about the fact that now for many years I've been getting the gospel over the world and been giving very great personal favor in the eyes of kings and prime ministers and presidents and heads of government. And then many of their heads, their cabinet members and their lawmaking body and so on. Now, the kingdom will be reigning over all of the people on the earth for the 1,000 years. But now we get to the billions of people that have lived and died, and God never called them. And it isn't their fault. You see, God decided that because of what Adam did long before they were born. And so it was not their fault. It is God's responsibility. He's not holding them responsible for it. And God has to see to it. God has to take care of that situation. Because God is no respecter of persons. He's not going to be unfair to anybody. There are billions. What about all of ancient Israel? They were not given salvation. What about them? They're not going to be in the kingdom of God. Only those that have had God's Holy Spirit will be resurrected to be in the 1,000-year reign with Christ. But now, we'll read of that 1,000 years in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. Come down to verse 11. And I saw a great white throne. White is the color of perfection and purity. And it's a throne before which people are going to be judged. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. A resurrection of people that have been dead standing before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Therefore, some are going to have a chance of gaining eternal life because many of their names will be written in this book of life. And every one of them will then be called. This is a resurrection of all of the billions upon billions of people that have lived and have never been called and have never had a chance, and now they're going to be called. Let me tell you, no church on earth will teach you this. They don't know these things. This is the knowledge and the wisdom of the eternal God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, which means that some will be given immortal life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. There will be a judgment in that great white throne. That will be the resurrection of everybody from Adam and Eve on till now that was not called. Now, some few have been called and have rejected the call. Adam was. He had every chance in the world. God called him. God talked to him. But he turned it down. I don't know how many have been called and turned it down. I hope not many. But I don't know that. And neither do you. But I do know this, that most of them were not called, and all of those who were not called will come up in this great white throne resurrection. And they're going to come back into mortal life, flesh and blood, not immortal. No salvation, but they will then be called and given the opportunity of salvation, and there will not be any devil there then. Now, the devil will be released after the 1,000 years for a short time, then he's put away again before this judgment. And the devil will not be there at the time of this judgment. So, we see then, and the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and the grave delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his works. Now, that's going to be. Now then, what about the ancient Israel of the Old Testament? As I say, they were called by God in a way. They were given his law. They were under God's prophets, but they were not given his Holy Spirit or any chance of salvation. Now we turn back to the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. And here is this chapter of the Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Eternal was upon me, verse 1, Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Eternal was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Eternal, and set me down in the midst of a valley which is full of bones. Now, in other words, that means that he's in a vision. by the Spirit, he's been taken where in this vision he sees a valley of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Skeletons and bones, they've been dead a long, long time, and they're all dry now. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord eternal, thou knowest. And actually, Ezekiel was just a prophet, and he didn't know this was being given to him now in the vision. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Eternal. Thus says the Eternal God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. You skeletons, full of dry bones, you're going to come back to a life in a resurrection. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and will cover you with skin, and will put breath in you. Now, that's the kind of breath that we breathe. That's not the immortality of self-containing life by the Spirit of God. This is breath that oxidizes the blood with a heartbeat in people. And you shall live, and shall know that I am the Eternal. They didn't know it. They never did really know who the Eternal was during their lifetime. They didn't get to really know him. They just knew about him. But they didn't really know him, and they didn't really believe him. But now they're going to in this resurrection. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and lo, as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, or like an earthquake. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them yet. So they couldn't live without that. Now, when a baby is born, it usually there's no breath in it. And did you ever notice how they give it a little slap on the back or on its little bottom or something? And it begins to meow right away. And, well, I've seen three of my four children born, and I know how it is. And I can still remember. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. That's the air, the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus says the Lord Eternal, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live, the breath of life. This is mortal life, physical life, made out of matter. So I prophesied as he had commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, and exceeded great army. It'll be billions and billions of people. All of ancient Israel. And not only that, all of ancient China and Japan and India and of Indonesia and even of Russia and nations like that. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. That tells us what it means. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. They think that their bones are dried, that they were lost. Well, God didn't offer them salvation, brethren. He did not offer them the Holy Spirit. He offered them his law, his spiritual law. Then, because they were a government and a nation, he gave them another kind of law, statutes and judgments to rule the nation. Now, we're not in that nation today, but really those laws were not done away in the statutes and judgments. If our government and the United States, for instance, would use those as its national law, we'd be a lot better off than we are. But we are commanded, of course, to be subject to the government that we're under. And that's the way that is today. Therefore, prophesy unto them, thus says the Lord Eternal, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves. This is all ancient Israel. And cause you to come up out of your graves, and will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Eternal. They didn't really know that before. They knew about him, but they didn't really get it. And when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my Spirit into you, then he will give them the Holy Spirit. Now first they're going to get breath. That's mortal life. Then he's going to put his Holy Spirit into them. And you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Eternal, have spoken it and have performed it, says the Eternal. What a wonderful thing. Look how wonderful is the way of God. He has decreed that the world should be cut off from him because Adam made that decision for him and his descendants. And we're all the children of Adam, everyone who's ever lived since Adam and Eve. But I do want to close with one scripture in the 11th chapter of Romans, and beginning with verse 33. All the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. How wonderful is the way of God. For who hath known the mind of the Eternal, or of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be a recompense unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. That's the universe and everything in it. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.